nice to see you all this morning. Although I hear I'm not seeing everyone right now, that our elevator has caused our elders to be in the parish hall. So this morning I would like to say I love you even though you're in the parish hall. And I would like to say that we're working diligently to get the elevator up and running and apologize for any inconvenience. It is my pleasure this morning to welcome you to First Parish. Each of you are welcome here, whether you are a longtime member or if you just found your way here this morning. Each are welcome to safely bring your whole self into this meeting house where we hold many beliefs, but we gather as one. For the next hour, this meeting house is our sanctuary where all are invited to turn off those cell phones and to just be here with us. You could even just turn them on silent. So just an encouragement out of love. This morning's reading is by Katie Kaderian Morris. Here we have come into this sacred space, quieter now with our readiness, hushed voices, hoping, trusting for so many things, for connection, for communion, for inspiration, for information, for healing, for wholeness, for music, for words, for celebration and consolation. Here we have come into this space bringing all who we are. Let us willing, however we are, to be changed. Let us join in our unison chalice lighting. The words are in your order of worship. Our prophets died for the freedom of faith. We are here in their spirit. We are here to practice and sustain our living tradition, to light a chalice, claiming for justice the heat and power of fire in our free faith. We are here seeking freedom from despair, the freedom to be loved as ourselves, and the freedom to grow beyond imagination. We are here, gathered in the name of all that we find holy. Let us give thanks for the gift of gathering here. Amen. Please rise in body and or spirit to sing hymn number 336 in the gray hymnal, All My Memories of Love.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lois Schiappa, a member of Pastoral Associates. We take this time during our worship service to share with one another the milestones in our lives. We bring our concerns and sorrows, as well as our joys and celebrations, into this holy space. We mention issues in our own lives and the lives of those we hold dear. Through this sharing, we sustain, support, and reach out to others in our congregation. At this time, I invite you to share a milestone you may have. You might prefer to place a stone in the bowl near Reverend Marjorie Maddie as a remembrance or a tribute to a loved one. And this morning, we're thrilled to have the children in the sanctuary for milestones. So if any adult or child has something they would like to share, we would like to hear from you.
So on Jan Hardenberg, on Tuesday, Gail fell. Her foot was asleep. She stood up and fell and chipped a bone in her foot and sprained her ankle. So she has one of those big boots on her right foot, which means driving is going to be very impossible, actually, for a few weeks or several weeks. And she wouldn't mind a call or email. So thank you.
I'm Elaine Jones, but actually I'm speaking on behalf of March and Bruce Langmuir. Their daughter just underwent a successful surgery this last week. As some of you may know, Lisa, their daughter, has been dealing with a medical condition known as Friedreich's ataxia for over 25 years. Please keep the family in your thoughts.
Hi. My name is Jordan, and my sister and me just started ballet class.
Hi, I'm Sarah Hartman. Both a joy and a concern. Last weekend, we celebrated my oldest sister's 75th birthday with a brunch for 31 of her women friends up in Maine. And it was quite a success, a lot of work, but a good time was had by all. And at the same time, my middle sister, who's developmentally delayed, was in the hospital, and she's now in rehab, doing better, and should be home probably the middle of November, and we have some decisions to make about how much support to build in and, you know, that kind of thing, but she's doing better, so thanks.
Hi, I have two joys. One is that we had our one-day women's retreat yesterday, and I think there were about 13 of us there, and I think we had a good time. My other joy is that after 5 years of not having the new CD out, I now do have a new CD out. Oh, it's called The Truth About 80.
I am Zach, and yesterday I went to my first music concert.
Hi, Aline Kaplan. I used to sing in my elementary school choir, my parochial school choir, and I sang in high school, and I loved singing, and I didn't start again until I joined the choir last year. But neither of my two children had any interest in singing. Ever. And recently we received a video of our 8-year-old granddaughter standing up on stage with absolutely perfect self-possession, singing a song with a wonderful voice. And I thought, oh, finally, someone in the family likes singing besides.
If there was ever anything to try us on a very personal level, it is the loss of a loved one. There is nothing quite so brutal, raw, and undoing. When we are in the grips of loss, there is no consolation. It is a time when we need faith to carry on. For me, I turned to thoughts of a heaven-like place where my loved ones would gather again, where they'd play cards, drink heavily, laugh, and be at peace. It may not be rational, proven, or even possible, but the image of such a place brought me comfort, and at times that is the most important gift that we can give ourselves. Peace of mind. Faith was a word that I heard too often growing up, along with the words patience and because. I considered these three words the bane of my existence. So when I hear them now as an adult, I get a little agitated. Maybe that's why I went into ministry, so I could get it right with the elusiveness of faith, patience, and because. I have preached about faith before here at First Parish, but sort of like how my dog Stoven deals with the newest addition of the Maddie family, Parker, a conure parrot, through the use of the side eye. If you have a four or even two-legged familiar, you might know what I mean. It is that out of the corner of the eye glance that says, I'm looking at you. But I know that I'm not allowed to obsess about you or lunge full long at you, which is my preferred engagement style. Faith. I do not have faith that Stoven will not lunge at Parker, because as soon as I turned my back recently for a nanosecond, he did just that. Faith, as so defined by Merriam-Webster, is allegiance to duty or a person, fidelity to one's promises, sincerity of intentions acted in good faith. In an article about the difference between the words faith, belief, and spirituality, a distinction is qualified which explains that many of us think of faith in supernatural terms, as in faith in God. This is actually more of what psychologists of religion would call belief. Faith, from a more naturalistic psychological perspective, is merely the innate drive to search for meaning, purpose, and significance. Miriam might disagree, but as a Unitarian Universalist, I like it. Faith as a search for meaning, purpose, and significance outside of oneself sounds spot on. Plus, it makes me feel a bit less itchy. This week, as I was preparing to write this sermon, I've been thinking a lot about faith, even though I have struggled with it in many ways throughout my life, especially the part that wants me to believe without seeing or experiencing. To say that this month's theme is going to stretch me a bit is an understatement, and I'm guessing that I might not be the only one who struggles or have struggled with the concept of faith. So how to approach this theme a little less side-eyed? And a bit more head-on. Maybe a story of some kind, I thought to myself. I have lots of stories, but for some reason, I was coming up with nothing. And then I stopped and looked at what I was doing in that specific moment. It was something mundane, something totally inane. I was hand-feeding sunflower seeds to Parker, my five-month-old parrot, who just over a week ago would not take anything that I gave him by hand. I'd reach out my hand, and he would scurry away in a sideways manner. Another side reference, maybe we all do it. So how does this apply to faith? Let me tell you a bit about Parker, who, I hate to say it, but was a pet store bird. He was handled, from what I saw, rather roughly, grabbed with hands, held a bit too securely so he couldn't jump, or if he did lamely break free, because his wings were clipped, would drop without grace and a lot of flapping to the floor. Seeing this beautiful, young, vulnerable creature broke my heart, truly broke my heart. So Parker came home with us. Parker, to say the least, is scared. He has a real phobia of hands. When I try to interact with him, it's as if we're doing the tango. I move my hand near, he moves away, I move back, he comes closer. Over the last month, he has been interested in knowing me more, but the hands are way too scary and a literal threat. What to do? Large part of building relationship with a parrot, or anyone for that matter, is getting them to see and know and trust you. It's not an immediate thing. For birds, this is usually done through hand training from hatchling. But clearly, whatever training and trust Parker had developed early on was undone by what I'm calling the pet store grabbers. The key to training any animal, or anyone for that matter, and this is true, is to associate good or the right desired behavior with good rewards. Kind of like religion. If you're a good person, you go to heaven, right? Or you get good rewards with karma, right? So the first step in changing one's behavior is to connect oneself with this concept of good rewards. If we trust one another, there is a chance that good things will happen for us both, or all of us. In my interactions with Parker, I learned rather quickly that he loves honeypot apples, as do I. I put slices of them in his bowl, and he carefully eats them, holding them in his little claw, doing these little happy, chirpy sounds the entire time. Yep, he's got me. After his first week with us, I took a huge leap of faith, huge, by inviting Parker to come out of his habitat, without knowing how I was going to get him back in, and what he might do when he was out. I opened the cage door, knowing that I was going to do my utmost not to grab him. No matter what, I wasn't going to grab him. Parker and I needed to learn about each other, to develop a sense of trust, and literally to develop a language with one another. My goal from day one was to teach Parker to step onto my hand before his flight feathers grew in. To say that we have our work cut out for us is an understatement. If we take this example of collaboration and apply it to all of our interactions and connections with others, you can pretty easily see how there is a direct connection between faith and the building of trust. You have to be able to take risks, to literally move forward in life. And to take a risk, one has to have some sense of faith that that risk will pay out in good rewards. This reality really affects us in everything that we do, whether we call it faith or not, and in every decision and action that we take. If one's faith is shaken, trust is broken. And when trust is broken, it's hard to get that sense of confidence and connection back. But it is our responsibility as conscious beings to make the effort to take the leap of faith to build, rebuild, and to maintain trust. Even when it's not easy. It is no coincidence that religion and religious doctrine have co-opted the concept of faith so wholly. That move to co-opt faith and the concept of God, for that matter, takes our individualized and personal sacredness away. It takes our power away and the benefit of what faith really means for the secular among us. Some of us do not feel that we are able to unpack the concepts of faith or God because they have been so thoroughly inculcated by religion. We are given pictures, images of what faith and God should look like, and thus we are not encouraged to have the ability to engage these ideals without having to buy and the provided imagery hook, line, and sinker. This is coming from a minister. The only way to reverse this is to reclaim these ideals for ourselves and to make no assumptions of meaning when someone else uses them. When another speaks of God, do not be afraid to ask them what they mean. Be okay with saying something like, "I am guessing your definition of faith or God might be different than mine, so I would like to know what you mean." This makes people work for their beliefs, makes no assumptions about what they mean or who they are. It can be far more of an invitation to mutual exchange. In a world where we have little faith, where we have broken trust. These are critical, critical skills that we need to cultivate and try and make that leap of faith to keep moving forward. As I do with Parker, the parrot. He was out of his habitat that first day, and I had no idea how I was going to get him back in when the time came. But I'm learning some stuff. Like, all I can do is stay in this moment, because that is all that we have together. I realized on his first outing three things about Parker. The first is that he is curious, which is a very good thing. He loves to explore, and that he really likes, wait for it, dried hot peppers. As in, he will do anything to get them. So when it's finally time for Parker to go home into his little habitat, he is out for hours at a time, by the way, I show him the red pepper. He for sure sees it because he's bobbing his head up and down like a crazy bird, and I reach into his habitat and drop it into his bowl. He sees this and immediately makes the climb back into his home, unaided, enjoys the treat that I provided him, the reward for good behavior. Parker is food motivated, which will make our collaboration a bit easier. I use the word collaboration because we are literally training one another. Since that first day, we have learned a bit, have begun down a long road of building trust and having faith in one another. I started point training him during week two, which is just I point to a location, and when he gets there, there's something good waiting for him. So now when I point to a location, he comes to it. That was kind of a big deal. Then about a week ago, I felt, who knows why, courageous maybe, that I had built up enough trust that if I held out a piece of apple, that he might come and get it. You're right. I held it out. My arm got tired. I held it out, and I watched as he struggled. And I watched as he debated. And I watched as he moved back and forth and bobbed his head and got all excited. But I saw him struggle. And he backed up, and he moved forward, and he backed up, and he moved forward. He was facing my hand now. He wasn't side-eyeing me. Yeah. Then he leaned way, 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 way out, and he gently plucked it from my hand, and he backed away like he was on fire. And he sat there, and he ate it. I didn't stop with one. He, I'm sure, had a whole apple that day, but several more times I put that out, and each time you could see him, his trust grew, and his faith grew, and he'd come closer, and then he'd, like, sit next to me. He now, without hesitation, will come for an apple. That's a huge step forward in a week. Then I started with other types of food. Broccoli. Now that changes the look of a hand significantly. He was like, what is that? He had to work on it, I will admit it. Then, just a week ago, as I was struggling with this sermon, and I thought, well, I'll go sit with Parker for a bit and try to figure out what I'm going to say. I was sitting with him, and I don't know, again, you know, I was like, okay, let's see. He was sitting on his perch, sort of staring at me like he always does. And I held out a sunflower seed, and you know how small a sunflower seed, right, is. They're, like, really small. And I held it out, and he was sitting on the perch, and I held it out, and he leaned and leaned and leaned, and he took it so gently from my fingers without any kind of concern at all. And in all earnestness, I had to have faith, because I don't want to get bit by a parrot's beak. It's not any fun at all, and because I've had that happen before. And he had to have faith that I was going to be predictable, that my hand was going to be predictable. Also, he was on a perch, so he really couldn't flee. So it really took a lot of trust on his part. We practiced the move over and over, and here we are. And when I saw that trust and faith in that one instant, Parker taught me something. It was about our interconnection and the interconnection of faith and trust and what it means to have a sense of faith. For him, it was that my hand would not hurt him, and that understanding comes with time, and it is built on trust and a consistent experience. For me, it is amazing what insight can come if we just pay attention in the moment to what is going on and make connections between what's going on and what we're struggling with. Faith is inextricably part of our human experience. We cannot have a sense of faith without trust. They are completely intertwined. I knew this, but not as clearly as I do now. To have a sense of trust takes time, kind of like being in a marriage. When you first get together with another person, you have no idea who they are, besides a whole bunch of perceptions and preconceived notions that you have about one another and what marriage might be like. And when that bubble is burst, you really get to know the other person for real. Some say this is when the honeymoon is truly over. But if you continue on, that is when you will really have the opportunity to get to know one another for who you most likely are. That is when one develops a true trust, enduring love and faith, when we get to know who we really truly are together, what we bring and the baggage that we carry. I thought about faith with regard to my ministry here at First Parish this year, because this is my fifth year with you. It's kind of like amazing, right? 5 years. We have had some good moments. We have had some tough moments. There were sermons that you liked and sermons that tried your patience. There are things that you like about me, and I'm sure that there are things that you do not. That is the way it's supposed to be. I can imagine that when you first called me to be your minister, you probably had a very different impression of who I was compared to who you know now. Here is a little secret. I have not changed. You are finally coming to a place, well, most of you, where you actually are getting to know me and can see me for who I am and not your impressions of who I should be or who you would like me to be. It takes time. It takes experience. It takes trust. Hopefully on the other side of the honeymoon, because I kind of think it might be over, we have developed a deep and abiding love for one another. Over the last 5 years, it has been my experience that First Parish does not give trust easily. And there's no negative judgment in that. Looking at First Parish's history, I can understand why long-term ministries, ministers who did not listen to the congregation, such as Reverend Hurlburt, and ministries that struggled with conflict. Faith and trust at times were tested, and they were broken. This is a part of the human condition. The key is, how do we recover? This is something that I'd like us to work on together in the coming years. How do we build and rebuild faith and trust? We'll take time for each of us to trust, and I have and will make mistakes, but it's not about making mistakes in relation to others. It's about intention. As we cultivate and create trust and faith in our attentions, will reflect in everything that we create and nurture together. That will pervade the essence of First Parish, will be felt far and wide. That is something that cannot be contrived. It requires commitment and conviction to our cause, to our principles, to the way that we walk the talk. The same is true of this world, of this struggle that we find ourselves in daily. The loss of faith, the loss of trust, the disappointment, how we look at those things, how we interpret them, how we bring them into our hearts, and what we do with that knowledge. For there is knowledge in all things. Parker and I, we have a long road ahead. He might trust me, or should I say the hand, enough someday to finally step onto it. We have committed to making the first and the second steps on a long journey together. He will live to be 30, hopefully. He will learn that the hand gives good scratches, gentle pats too, that it ministers healing and love. I didn't understand this about faith, that it isn't something that just bam happens. Faith is like trust in that it takes time to cultivate and encourage, facing fears and taking risks. I'm realizing that when I arrived at First Parish, I immediately wanted everyone to love me, to have faith in me, to have trust. But the same is true, that we are in the midst of a journey that we have committed to, and the best parts are still yet to be discovered. I invite you to join me and on occasion withstand or endure the sermon that you might not resonate with or the mistakes that I or we might make, and to keep coming back, committed to creating something larger than our one individual selves, to create what we might imagine the beloved community could be in all of its glorious and amazing diversity of identity and belief, a place of trust, a place of support, a place of love, a place of real faith, a sacred place, and a very personal home. That is why we bring our ancestors with us here this morning, to participate and witness our grief, as well as our joy and our love shared in this community. The hope we hold weekly is that we will be seen for who we really are and will still be loved and accepted in spite of ourselves, our faults, and our foibles. I want to say that is what one can expect from this community, to be seen and accepted. But it takes time and experience. We are on our way towards a place of faith and certainty. We are on our way. I have faith that we will find, create, cultivate the all-inclusive promised land. But it's not just me. It's all of us. And it's not just all of us. It's all of us. Even those we don't agree with. It's a tall order. But I believe, I have faith that we can do it together. For this we pray. Oh, sorry. I invite us to take a few moments in silent reflection and prayer.